Let's look at one of the parables that Jesus told. It's the parable of the mustard seed. Now, it's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so they're all fairly similar, so let's read the one in Matthew. It's in Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32, if you'd like to read along. So Matthew chapter 13, 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So, it's a good story, but once again, without understanding, we don't know much about what Christ was talking about. First of all, he's speaking of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is not a literal place off in the sky. It's a condition within our mind. As it tells us in Luke 17:21, neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of heaven is within you. So that's within our minds. And we get that by getting God's word and spirit planted in our mind in a deeper depth of spirit. So he speaks of a grain of mustard seed. Now that's a very tiny seed, and he likens the planting of this very small seed in the field to the planting of a very small word in someone's mind. Luke 11 tells us that the seed is the word of God, so that's how we know the mustard seed is symbolic of God's word. And the field is symbolic of our minds, as it tells us in many places, most particularly in the book of Jeremiah. It says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. So, it seems to be the least when it's planted, but when it's grown, it grows into a tree, and the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. This shows us that the Word of God doesn't seem very much at all compared to all the other ideas and things that we have planted in our mind, but when it grows up, it becomes a tree of life. It provides a strong and stable mind, much more so than anything that the world has to offer. Now, as this tree grows, angels, which are symbolized here by the birds of the air, as it tells us in Matthew 24:28, angels come. They deposit even more life to this tree of life in our mind and make it even stronger. So as we said in Mark and Luke, those are very similar parables. We can move on to another parable that Jesus gave, which was of the fig tree. This is also found in Matthew. It's found in chapter 24 of Matthew, chapter 13 of Mark, and Luke 21. So let's do particularly the one in Matthew. The parable in Matthew, they're all alike, and it's part of Christ's answer to the disciples' question as to when would be the sign of his coming. What would it be? When will it be? And what will be the sign of the end of the world? Now, the world that the disciples were asking about, it wasn't the literal world. They were asking about the end of the old religious world, the Old Testament law that they had grown up and were living under. Hebrews 9:26 says, Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. This shows Christ died at the end of the Moses world, and that's when he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. It wasn't the end of a literal world, it was the end of a spiritual condition. His death and resurrection brought in the New Testament, or the New World. So with that as a foreword, let's read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. So the it that he was speaking of there is this, the end of the lesser depth and the beginning of a deeper depth of spirit. So the parable of the fig tree, when the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So the natural example that Christ was giving was that when a fig tree begins to put forth leaves, ye know what season it is. You know that the season is changing to summer, and that's when the full fruit is produced. So he says, likewise you, when you see these things, you know that it is near, even at the doors. So the fig tree has a symbolic meaning. The fig pictures God's grace, but rather it's in a limited depth of spirit. That is the limited depth that God wanted to be done away with. So it tells us that in John 1:16, when Christ came, it says, of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. They had limited grace under the law, But what Christ brought was a deeper depth of grace, a regenerating depth of grace to replace that limited depth of grace. So, this refers to the amount of God or the depth of Spirit that was available to the Jewish nation under the Old Testament. The tree here that's spoken of symbolizes people or entities, like it tells us in Jude 12. It's speaking of false prophets, and it calls them trees whose fruit withereth. So trees are symbolic of people or entities. Here, there are entities with some limited grace available to them. They're preparing to move from the Old Testament to the New Testament depth of Spirit. That's what it pictures to move from this lesser depth into a deeper depth is pictured by the summer coming. Leaves in the scripture pictures gifts that are growing in these people's minds. Like it tells us in Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, it says concerning this tree of life that it had leaves that were for the healing of the nations. Now, natural leaves can't heal nations, but gifts in God's ministry can heal people or works within their minds. Christ says that when you see these gifts growing in people's minds, which was just like the leaves growing on the fig tree, then you know that summer, which is symbolic of God's deeper creative depths, is near. The doors picture people's minds. Christ said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, he wasn't standing at natural doors, but he knocks at our mind by speaking words to us. This is our invitation to come to a deeper depth of spirit. Christ wants to come into all of mankind's minds to bring them into this summer or deeper depth where the full fruits like love, joy, and peace mentioned in Galatians 5:22 can be produced. Now, if we were reading that parable in Mark, we would find that it was essentially the same. And in Luke, it's much the same. The understanding is the same, but there are a couple of additions in Luke. Regarding this fig tree, he said in Luke, "When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." Well, now, what's all this talk about being nigh or near to hand? Well, the hand is symbolic of God's ministry. As Christ said, the kingdom of God is at hand in Mark 1:15. Also, God communicated with the children of Israel by the hand or ministry of Moses. You can read that in Numbers 16:40. So Christ was saying that the kingdom of God was available in a ministry, specifically his ministry at that time, but later all of the other believers of the early church would have a ministry like his. And this deeper depth of spirit, the kingdom of God would be available by people hearing those words. So, following these parables in all three accounts, Christ says that this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Now, this wouldn't be 2,000 years off in the future. It was taking place in the spirit realm in that generation that he was speaking to. Remember, he's answering the question that was put to him by his disciples in Matthew 24, verse 3. "When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" The context for these answers is in Matthew 24, 34. "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled." So that shows that there was an end to a lesser depth of spirit and a beginning of a new depth of spirit at the time of Christ, much the same as today. Another parable that Christ told about a fig tree and a dresser in the vineyard was in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." So, as we often have, the certain man in this parable refers to God. He had planted a fig tree. The fig tree that God planted was the Jewish nation, as it tells us in the book of Isaiah. He had given them his laws and commandments. And when God came to see his people, to see if they had been growing spiritually, they weren't producing fruit, symbolized as fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace. So the dresser of the vineyard in this particular parable is symbolic of Christ. God had spent a considerable amount of time and spirit in preparing the Jewish nation. They had the law, Moses gave them that, and they had the words of the prophets that God had sent them. The law was to prepare them for Christ, but instead of accepting him, the Jewish nation, on the whole, rejected him. So God says, well, let's just cut it down. In other words, let's just not bother with the Jewish nation anymore. But the dresser responds, let it alone this year. People may have rejected Christ, but let's give this early church an opportunity to come back around and give them another opportunity. This would be the words of the apostles that would be spoken to the religious leaders and the Jewish nation at whole. This is what's symbolized here by digging and dunging. It shows the mercy of God to permit people to have a second chance, and maybe a third, maybe a fourth, maybe even more to respond to his witness. So, after that, however, if the New Testament message was rejected, then the fig tree, which was the natural Jewish nation, would be rejected or cut off by God. Jesus often told parables about planting fields, as we have in Luke 8:5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock. As soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? Well, in verse 11 it starts. He says, the seed is the word of God. This is a key scripture that equates the seed with the word of God. So he says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So this account explains why the devil, or Satan, the wicked one, would want someone not to understand God's word. It's because it would save their soul. Well, verse 13, they that are on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy and have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So this account shows the shallowness of having no root, not letting these words of God sink down and grow root within our mind. And the lack of depth leads us open to temptation. Verse 14 says, they that fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. So this shows the things of this world. Could be a job, could be recreational activities, so on and so forth. They get in the way of God's word. Now this doesn't mean that you can't have a job. It doesn't mean that you can never be involved in recreational activities. But it does mean, however, that when all of the distractions that we find in life choke out the Word of God, the completed product or the perfection that God wants us to get simply doesn't take place, because it takes some time to get God's Word in our mind. Verse 15, but they that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So this mind is an honest and good mind. Keeping the word of God that God gives us will cause these words to germinate, and we can produce fruits of the Spirit. Now the four kinds of soil in this parable doesn't necessarily refer to four different people. The four kinds of soil can exist in one person's mind. Some words that God plants gets perverted for lack of understanding. Some doesn't bring forth because of the persecution. Sometimes distractions interfere. Some of God's word is understood and it grows. It's God's desire and the intent of the New Testament that all of our minds become completely good soil and bring forth fruit, God's word and his Spirit, like love, joy, peace, unto perfection. When Jesus gave these parables to his disciples, they asked him why he spoke even to them to understand the mysteries of God. After the day of Pentecost, the disciples would later go around to people and reveal these mysteries to them. What we can have today is these mysteries revealed within our minds.